Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, the fifth chapter. Luke chapter 5 in your Scofield Bible, page 1078. That's 1078. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8. These verses we'll read responsively. As we always do, we'll stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And it came to pass that, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into the one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. We have another place to turn to. Turn to the book of John, the 21st chapter. John chapter 21, in your Scofield Bible, page 1144. We'll be reading verses 3 through 7. John 21, verses 3 through 7, page 1144 in your Scofield Bible. We read these verses likewise responsively. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And let's read the seventh together likewise. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you that this Sunday we get to do as we have so many Sundays in the past. We get to come to church. We get to come to this church. We get to come to the best church we feel that there is in all the world. And we get to hear the preacher that we love to hear, how wonderful it is to be in our situation. That will be all for naught unless we listen to the message. You've laid something upon the heart of our preacher, and perhaps he's been thinking about this subject for many weeks. We know that he's toiled diligently in the work, and we believe that he's prepared likewise in a diligent way in order to bring us what we need. Help us, please, to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, why it is hard to come back. Why it is hard to come back. 10% of you will need this sermon today. 80% of you will need this sermon someday. I do not know how many times I get a note or a letter. Somebody who writes and says, Brother Hiles, I remember a sermon you preached and I recalled it to my mind when my trouble came, a heartache came. Some of that I may have forgotten. And they write me a note or maybe they'll tell me and say, Preacher, we remembered that sermon. We didn't need it at the time, but we remembered it. Now, I would suggest that you store every sermon that's preached here in the computer of your mind. And one of these days, you're going to need it. I promise you that 10% of you need it now. The rest of you should store it. I'm going to speak this morning a very practical message on the subject, why it is hard to come back. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning you'll help me in a very special way. For if you do not help me in a special way, I cannot help these dear people in a special way. And I long to help them this morning. Please help me so I can help them. If you don't help me, I cannot help them. So I pray you help me today because I want to help these dear ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody asked me, why is it that so few who backslide ever get back to where they were? It really is shocking. Very seldom do you ever see anyone who backslides get back where they were. Now I want to examine this morning what it is. Here's the problem. We want to come back to where we were instead of where we started. Turn me up just a bit, please. Amen. You up there? Let me illustrate what I mean. Here's a person who gets saved. Here he is back here. He's an unsaved person. And he gets saved. And then he starts to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And maybe he has some kind of an office. Maybe he's a pastor or assistant pastor or staff member or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. And all of a sudden, and nobody ever thinks it's going to happen to them. They say the same thing every time. I never thought it could happen to me. But what happens? He backslides. And he goes way back here and backslides. Now then, he gets right with God. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to come over here and take up where he left off. But you can't do that. He's not strong enough to do that. What you do is you come back here and start where you started again. In the first place, you start again. A couple in this church, and I'll not give their names, years ago, they divorced. And after months passed, they decided that they wanted to get married again and that they were meant for each other. They came to me, and by the way, the first thing they did, they lived together. They were divorced now. And they started living together, not as husband and wife, somehow thinking that's okay, which is not. If you're divorced, she ain't yours anymore. But they started living it, and that didn't work. So I suggested to them, they came to me and said, we want to get back where we ought to be and where we were. So I said to them, don't even see each other except to date for 3 months. Go back there where you were when you started. And I said, date for 3 months. Don't even as much as hold hands. Act like you're a Howells Anderson College student, one of the ones that keeps the rules. And don't hold hands, don't kiss, just enjoy each other. Listen now, just enjoy each other. Then I said, after you've dated for 3 months, let me marry you, perform your ceremony, and marry you again. Then I said, go on a honeymoon. Someplace like Indiana Harbor or Gary or someplace like that, some beautiful spot, and go on a honeymoon. And then, after you've gone on your honeymoon, I said, get back to your home life again. Now, the truth is, the average person who grows in grace, and then he backslides and goes back here, and he gets right with God, he wants to come back up here again to where he started. Now, I make some observations about that. You are not strong enough for that. Hey, it took you a long time to get from where you started to over there. I mean, you grew and you grew and you grew and you got stronger and you got stronger. All of a sudden, you backslide all the way back to here, and you're weak. You're not strong enough to go back there. Start where you started before, just like I did that married couple, and because you need to regain the strength it took you to get up there. But see, what it is, a pastor messes up. He wants to get back to pastor. He gets right with God. He wants to go back to pastor. Or a deacon messes up. He gets right with God. He wants to go back to being a deacon. No, you don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. First place, you're not strong enough. The second place, it took a long time to get where you were.
In the third place, so we need to get back not to where we stopped, but to where we started. Are you listening to me? Not to where we stopped, but where we started. Number four, then take the same road we took before to get where we were. You are too weak to do what you quit doing. I'm simply saying, if you got saved back here, and you started right here, and you got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and then you go all the way back there, you can't come back here as weak as you are from your backslidden condition and start where you were. You start where you started all over again. Now listen carefully to this. Don't miss this. We want the wrong things back. You're going to need this someday. We want the wrong things back. When we get right with God after backsliding, we want to, for example, we want the work back we used to have. Or we want the reputation back. But the truth is, we should want God back. Getting back right is not getting back to the work or getting back to the reputation. It's getting back to God. So, and the honest simple truth is, He is the only thing that we can immediately and completely get back. He's the only thing. You may never get back your reputation, but you can get God back just like that. You may never get your work back. You may never pastor again or be a deacon again, but you can get God back just like that. But you see, what you want to do is you're interested in getting back the work. No, you get back here where just you and God. And you get back to God. Not only that, by the way, He is where you started. He is wherever you are, and get back to where you started. Suppose you never win your position back. Suppose you never win your reputation back. Suppose you never reach your previous heights. Bless God, He wants you back. And you can get back to Him the moment that you walk down this aisle and get on your knees and get right with God. But see, you're more concerned about getting your work back, getting your name back, getting your reputation back, when the big thing is to get God back. Now, once you get God back, He will take you to whatever work He wants you to do, and whatever work you're qualified to do, and whatever work that you're strong enough to do. But when you backslide, ladies and gentlemen, here's a fellow back here. Oh, my. I had a fellow call me on the telephone to preach to just the other day. He had messed up his life, resigned his church. He calls and says, can you get me back in the pastorate? And I said, yeah, maybe in 5 years from now. He hadn't done anything disqualifying for that. I said, maybe 5 years from now. But he said, I want to get back now. I said, you'd flop if you got back now. You're not strong enough to do what you did before you backslid. Now, the thing you need to do, sir, is get back with God and start where you are. Hey, illustration. I love this. I was talking to fellows about it a while ago. When I was a boy, there used to be a zoo near our house. We had old baboons and hippies and other people in cages there. And the baboons were second most obnoxious looking. But we had Miss Alice remembers this, we had a baboon there named Henry. Remember Henry? Henry was a character. He really was. He reminded me of Roy Moffat a great deal. But Henry was a character. Every Sunday afternoon, Henry put on a show. Now, it wasn't planned, and nobody trained him. Henry was just, he was a showboat, that's all. And he'd put on a show. And every Sunday afternoon, crowds would gather around Henry's cage. I used to drive a bicycle down there on Sunday afternoon just to watch Henry. And so, just like some of you come just to watch Royal Moffat. And I used to watch Henry. And here's the strange thing about it. There was a nut of a preacher down there standing right outside Henry's cage. Every Sunday afternoon, nobody paid attention to him, but he's preaching. I was a kid. I didn't know who the nut was. He just there preaching because that's where the crowd was. So Henry put on a show over here, and the preacher tried to put on a show over here, and the preacher put on a pretty good show. He is preaching just a nut. I didn't know who he was. It was years and years later when I was preaching that I found out that that preacher was a young man named John R. Rice. Every Sunday afternoon down there preaching, I didn't even know it. I didn't know who John Rice was in those days. But years, and I was preaching with Dr. Rice across the country and found out that he was a nut down there to compete with Henry at the zoo when I was a boy, a young preacher. I heard John Rice preach a sermon one time. I've heard him say it many times. He said, yeah, he had a little eye problem. He'd do,
He said, if you ever hear that I was found in a tavern somewhere, or if you ever hear that I've left the will of God and gone in deep sin, anybody ever finds me in the gutter? He says, I'll tell you where you start looking. He says, you start looking back yonder. Don't look for me as editor of the Sword of the Lord. I won't be there. He said, look for me on a street corner somewhere. I'll be preaching on a street corner. Or go to a rescue mission. And I said to him after the service, or go preach at the zoo beside Henry's cage. Now, what was Dr. Lash saying? Dr. Lash was saying, here he is, way up here. One of the greatest Christians that ever lived is John R. Rice. But he said, if I ever go back here and backslide, he said, don't look for me way up here, because I won't be strong enough then to be way up here. He said, look for me where I started. And that's your problem. You see, when you backslide, ladies and gentlemen, you can't come back where you were, but bless God, you can come back. You can't come back right away to your position. You can't come back right away to your reputation. You can't come back right away to your name, but you can come back right away to your Lord. So you go back where you started. So forget the lost work. Forget the lost position. Even forget the lost influence. Think of the lost Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, you folks out there today who are backslidden, and you know who you are, and there are hundreds of you who are backslidden. Oh, you say, well, I want to come back. I taught at Howells Henderson College. I want to come back again. No, you don't start there. You go back yonder, like the couple did, who dated 3 months, then got married on a honeymoon. Hey, go back to Henry's cage and start there. You don't start as editor of the Sword of the Lord. You start back there at Henry's cage on the street, on the side preaching. I thought of the story read this morning. Here's a fellow fishing. Several fellows fishing, two boats here. They fished all night. And they were cussing. The Bible doesn't say they were cussing, but I fished all night, didn't catch anything. I know what I did. I said, golly. But they're all night long. And they're finished fishing. They're washing their nets. Here comes a stranger along they'd never seen. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, hey, fellas. Hey, how you doing? And that's when he heard some words he'd never heard before. And he said, look, why don't you put your nets over here? Oh, I love what the next verse says. It says, at his word. At his word. That fished all night. Hey, these men were in the fishing business. These weren't fellows on a vacation. They weren't folks having a little recreation. This was their business. They knew more about fishing than anybody in the whole land. They knew that sea by heart. They'd caught nothing, the Sea of Gennesaret, or the Galilee we call it, Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. They knew it by heart. And he said, put your nets over here. They could have said, well, what do you mean? Buddy, what do you know about this lake? Are you in a fishing business? This is our business. We make our living doing this. What do you know? It says, at his word. And ladies and gentlemen, what you better do is you better get that book and read it, and at his word do what that book says. And so they put down their nets, their net, and broke. Jesus said, put down your net. They put down your nets. They put down their net and broke. And Peter became a follower of Jesus Christ. And he grew. And he grew. He was called to preach. He pastored, no doubt. He preached the gospel. He became the leading disciple. He became one of the top three. He became the leader of the disciples. It was he who was a spokesman for the disciples. And all of a sudden, Peter backslid. He goes way back down here, and he backslides. They say, are you a member of the church? He curses and says, no, I'm not. He learned those curse words out fishing, of course. And are you a Christian? And he cursed and said, no, I'm not. Are you one of his followers, Jesus of Nazareth's followers? He said, no, I'm not. And cursed and swore. And then the cock crew, and Peter was backslidden. And then Peter said, I go fishing. What was he saying? I'm going back to the old life. Now you listen carefully to me. You are ruined for the old life.
You will never have as much fun back there as you had then, because there is a new creature with you now that's going to bother you when you go back there. All that fun you had when you were just one, had only one nature. You were just a sinner, but you're not a Christian. Only had one nature, but one day you got born again, and now you have a new nature. I promise you, that new nature is going to bother you. You'll never enjoy the world again, because you aren't made for the world. And as long as you're back there in the world, you're going to be miserable. The only happiness you've got is to go forward and not backward. But Peter came back there.
And Peter did what most folks do backslide. They join a church and let them wear no, back to no clothes. You check the people that leave an old red-hot fundamental church. They don't usually go to another red-hot fundamental church. And they go somewhere where they can strip half naked and lie on a beach somewhere. Or dress it. But anyway, so Peter took off his clothes. He was naked. Took off his clothes. Let me say this too. I've got a sermon on this. I'll preach one of these days. Peter said, I go fishing. And they, as the disciples said, we also go with thee. You never backslide by yourself.
Never. Take your child with you. Take your wife with you. Take some folks have confidence in you with you. Never do. And by the way, you never gossip about somebody and shake without shaking the confidence of somebody else in that person that your big fat mouth's been talking about. They said, we go with thee. Here's Peter back here. Backslidden. Fishing. Denied the Lord. Denied the faith. Denied the church. Here he is back here.
One day, stranger comes.
How you doing?
Peter didn't recognize this stranger. Something had happened to him since he was with him before. Had a new body.
He said, we haven't caught anything. We've swallowed all night and caught nothing. And this stranger said, put your nets over here on this side of the boat.
And Peter, backslidden, him now, he put his net over there on that side of the boat. And the net was full of fishes. And Peter said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. I remember back yonder. It's been about 3 years now. The same thing happened.
I was a lost sinner on my way to hell. And this stranger came up and said, put your nets over here. And we had called all night and caught nothing. And that's exactly what happened. What was Jesus saying? Jesus said, Peter, you're not going to start up here. Or you were, you're not strong enough. You start back here beside the boat with the fishes in the boat, and you start not where you were when you fell, but where you were when you started.
And step by step, Peter grew again. And grew again. And grew again. Until Peter became a great missionary and gave his life as a martyr for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And became the great preacher of Pentecost. But Jesus said, Peter, if you get back with me, by the way, I want you to notice Jesus wasn't trying to get Peter back in the church. He wasn't trying to get Peter back as pastor of the church.
He was trying to get Peter back to him.
It is the Lord. And what you need when you get away from God is God. Now, God can give you whatever position he wants you to have.
This morning,
God says, okay, am I more important or is the position more important? God said, I want you back with me. Okay, I have a place for you someday where I'll use you again. But that's not the big thing, to get back up here and get your name back and your face back and your name on the sign out in front of the church or on the church building. The thing is, God says, I want you back.
If I want you back, I'll use you again. Remember the story of Jacob? Jacob started left home for the first time because he was afraid of Esau. His mother told him to leave home. And Jacob started off that first night, and he goes to sleep, puts his head on a rock. And all of a sudden, while he's asleep there, he has a vision, a dream. He sees that ladder from earth to heaven. And he sees angels of God going up in a... And I think it's John 1:51, I think it is, says that those angels represent Jesus Christ. He's that ladder, represents Christ. He's the way to heaven. He is that ladder. And so up and down that ladder go angels. And Jacob says, I'm going to call this place Bethel because this is the house of God. And that's where he started tithing too, by the way. And he said, this is the house of God. And Jacob begins to grow and grow and grow. and he backslides. He goes way back down there for 20 years. Listen carefully. 20 long years outside the will of God. He decides to get right with God. Where does he go? He goes where he started. Back to Bethel, I must go. Back where the waters of pure water flow. Back to the joy of life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. And I get this now. Jacob goes, he doesn't go way back up here as a great Christian. He starts back here, not where he finished, but where he started. Jacob kneels there at Bethel. He changes a sign outside in front of the church. He changes it from Bethel to El Bethel. El meaning God. Bethel means house of God. He puts another L there on the front of the Beth. The God of the house of God. What is God telling us here? That the first thing Jacob did was get back to God. You may never get back where you used to be, but you can get back whom you used to have. And by the way, he is able to promote you. Tell you about a preacher. Preacher had to leave his church. He done some stupid things, like hunting, golf, hunting. This guy here, he's a modern day Nimrod. Doesn't look like it. Looks like he's in the beginner department, but he's a. Jacob goes back to Bethel. What was I going to say? Oh, but this preacher. I'm going to go back to the first of the sermon now because I've. Boy, that really hurt, didn't it? There goes your Super Bowl. This preacher had to resign his church. Flew all the way from the West Coast to see me. Brought his wife with him. I gathered up a little money and sent them on a honeymoon together because their marriage was about to crumble. And they got back. Listen carefully. I said to him, now, what you need to do is get in the church. Start off teaching a Sunday school class like you did years ago. He said, but I want a pastor. I said, you're not strong enough to pastor. It took 2 years to get where you were, and now you're back on a farther back than you were when you started. You don't start up there, you start here. He goes back home. He tries to start up here. Now he's not in church at all. You know why? He wasn't strong enough to start up here. And neither are you. He wasn't concerned about getting God back. He was concerned about getting his position back. Sure, he left the pastor. Sure, he left the priest. But it's not preaching time yet. It's getting right with God time right now. So his life is wrecked. He'll never preach again. Now he's a backslidden. He won't even teach a Sunday school class. Because when he backslid, he wanted to go right back up here and start where he was. And that's why so few come back. Because they don't want God back. They want their position back. They want their reputation back. They want their name back. But the main thing to get back is God. I won't tell you the whole story because I told it before. You say in preface to this, forget where you were and get back to the one you were with. Forget what you were doing. Forget how far you've fallen. Forget what you've lost. And get back to Him. In my desk, I have a list of names. My desk drawer. Those names are a list of my deacons who backslid. Bob Pearson's on that list. Ray Bordway's on that list. It's not as funny now, is it? He enjoyed Bob Pearson, but Gary Duff tops the list. In fact, the whole bass section over here, Colonel McCormick is on that list. I'm talking about men that used to serve with me who now are out of church, out of fellowship with God. There's a man that was on that list for 11 years, and this is a story that's old, so I'll not go into it in detail as I have before. For 11 years, I opened that desk drawer every morning when I sat down at work and prayed for that man. God would bring him back. He'd done some awful things. Awful. He was a deacon here, years for years. 11 years, I prayed every day when I came to my office for that man. One night about 11 o'clock, I'd finished counseling. I had my coat ripped over my shoulders. My shirt was unbuttoned. Had my beauty shorts on. And I was walking out of down the hallway over there outside my office at 11 o'clock at night. And the door opened from the front door there, from the sidewalk, and in walked that deacon, ex-deacon I hadn't seen for 11 years. He began to cry. He said, "Could I see you?" And I said, "Well, of course you can." Back in the office, he sat across from my desk, and he said, "Preacher, I've ruined my life. I used to be a respected member of this church. I was on the deacon board. I taught a Sunday school class. I wrecked my life." And he said, "Number one, can you forgive me?" And I said, "Just did. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." I just did. He said, "You think God could forgive me?" I said, "He just did." Bible didn't say if you ask forgiveness, God will forgive you. It says if you confess your sins, if you're on your way to ask Him. And then we say, "I'm going to go ask God to forgive my sins." God said, "Just did it." If we confess, if we admit it, God says, when you're on your... That's what the father did to the prodigal son. He forgave him before he got home. Wait a minute. He said, "You think God can use me again?" Now, bear in mind, he used to be up here, a deacon, respected leader in our church. His wife was respected. He'd come back to here. "You think God can use me again?" I said, "Yes, I can. But He can't use you up here right now." I said, "Tell you what you do. I won't even give you a Sunday school class. I won't even give you a bus route. But I'll let you drive a bus." He began to cry. He said, "You mean you have that much confidence in me?" Asking somebody to drive one of our buses is not a sign of confidence. So, interesting thing. What I did not know is that he went down and bought him a bus driver's uniform. Between that day, that was on Thursday night, between Thursday and Sunday, he went down and bought him a bus driver's uniform with a cap with a hard deal on it and a little insignia up here. I walked out there Sunday morning. I saw him drive up. Proud as a peacock, behind the wheel with his bus driver's uniform on and his bus driver's cap on. He had enough sense not to try to start over here. He started back here. That's what Peter did. Jesus said, "Peter, I want you to start where you were when you started. Jacob, start where you were. Start at Bethel. But add God's name to it, the God of the house of God. Start where you were." Some of you Howells Anderson College folks have messed up. What you ought to do? Go back and start taking freshman classes again. I'm not saying take them all. Just take some. See, what you want to do is you want to start as once again, a division leader in the bus ministry. But you don't start where you stopped. You start where you started. Now, you follow me carefully. And one of these days, you'll need this. Every single person who's backslidden, who decides to come back and start up here where they were when they started, in the first place, that's ego. You want your name back. You want to do what was fun for you. You're not willing to pay the price to labor to grow over again where you'd grown before. And that's the crowd that never makes it. I could call the names of 10 people right now, and I will not, of course. But at one time, members of this church, 10 families, came back to the church, came to the service, loved the preaching, naturally. Loved the preacher, naturally. And sitting back where they used to be. But they didn't get their Sunday school class back right away. They weren't chosen to be a deacon right away. They weren't willing to sit in the pew like they used to and make God their big object of affection. I promise you, they all went to the wayside. But I could point some people right here, right now, in this room, who got saved, were babes in Christ. They grew. After a while, they backslid, left the church, came back. Said, "Preacher, I'm sorry. I'm away from God." I never point them back to their position. I point them back to the God who gave them that position. And they come back here and they start right here where they started before and retrace their steps of growth. And by the way, in some cases, there are people sitting here right now who surpassed where they were before. There we are up here. But you don't come back to God, come back here and go up here. You come back there and lay your foundation very carefully. And then one of these days, who knows, you may surpass what you used to be. The sermon is simply this. Why it is so hard to get back. And the answer is very simple. When we come back, we want to start where we stopped instead of starting where we started. Would you bow your heads, please?